Hello and welcome to another Thought for the Day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church. Let's pray as we come to God's Word. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that this morning we may have a view of the kind of God that you are, how awesome it is to have dealings with you, and how necessary for our very lives that we come to you in the right way and by the right means, and that we make access into your presence a question of high priority in our lives, and that we do it only through your living Son. So open our eyes to the truth, whether we are Christians or not. This morning we pray. Amen. We're going to read from Genesis chapter 18 and verse 16. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he would direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again, he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And when the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. So we see this quite incredible story of Abraham plea bargaining, as it were, with God. But first, before we actually look at that, let's just do some basic maths here. What does it mean when it says that Abraham was left talking to the Lord? And that's capitalized L-O-R-D. That's the name of God in the Old Testament at this stage. Well, let's look back a bit to the beginning of chapter 18. In verse 1, we're told that 3 men came to Abraham. He suddenly saw these 3 men standing nearby, and he knows immediately there is something different about them. Verse 16 again talks to us about the men. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them, 3 of them, to see them on their way. And then there is this conversation that the Lord has with himself, as it were, which results in what follows. Verse 22, the men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's skip forward and cheat, because we're going to poach on a verse from the following section, verse 1 of chapter 19. And we see the two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening. Okay, so three men came to Abraham, three men, and they speak to Abraham about the fact that he is going to have a child by Sarah, his wife. Two men go on to Sodom, and Abraham is left standing before one of them, and he is called the Lord. So this is a physical representation in bodily form of God himself, whom Abraham is speaking of. And many scholars and students of the Old Testament believe this is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, that he appears in bodily form in various places. And one of these is that he appears to Abraham. Now, what I want to do this morning, so often in our morning thought for the day studies, we are speaking to those who are Christians, those who belong to God, those who have come to faith in Christ. Just yesterday, we had the delight in our church of baptizing four new Christians who had come to place their faith in the risen living Christ and had come to know new life in him. But this morning I want to talk to you if you are not a Christian. It may just so be that you have happened upon these broadcasts and you wonder what it's all about. It may just so be that you're just looking at this one today to see what this guy is all about and what he's talking about. Well, let me talk to you, because this passage directly relates to you. Christians are aware of this, and it's something that we want to convey to the world. Why is God going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, he's going to judge it because of this outcry. What's happening is that their sin against God, the way that they are transgressing, the way that they are disobeying God and living lives just outside of his remit, is so great that his judgment must be imminent. Now, previously we have seen that God tells Abraham that for four generations his descendants will be captive in a land which is not theirs. They will be slaves. And we know subsequently that they were actually in Egypt, and this is what happened. Why is it that God waits four generations to bring them back to Canaan to inherit the land, when he had already promised that to Abraham? Why did God wait? Well, we're given a clue in one of the verses in chapter 15. We're told that the sins of the Amorites, some of the Canaanites who are already living in the land, have not reached their full measure. In other words, God is being patient. Why is he waiting to give his people, the children of Abraham, their inheritance? It's because he is waiting for the full measure of their sinfulness to be made known, and then he will step in and judge. Now, this is what I want to say. If you are living in this world and you are not a Christian, you are living in the world God created, and you are living the life that God has given you. So here is my challenge to you this morning. Are you living your life in a way that ignores him, that leaves him completely on the sidelines? Maybe you even argue against his very existence. Are you living in God's world, but your own way? And what that results in is us actually forming our lives and living out lives that are actually completely different to the way God intended. We end up getting ourselves in a mess because we're not aware of how we were created and who we were created for fellowship with God. So we end up tying ourselves in knots, because our behavior is determined by none other than ourselves, or maybe someone else who we think has good ideas about the way we should live. But if you are living a life that is godless, you make God angry, because he has given you your life. He has placed you in this beautiful world that he has made for you, and you are ignoring him. And what's causing you to ignore him is the rebellion in your heart. It's the hostility that every human being has towards the living God. In other words, you deserve his punishment. And one day he will judge you. In fact, this slight against God, this hostility towards him, is so great, is so immense, is so wicked, that God has every right to step in right now and cut you down. Why does God wait? It is because he is patient. Just occasionally, we see in this situation, for example, the sins of this city, these two cities, were so great that God wanted to step in and judge them immediately. You will never know when God will say to you, your days are up and you must now stand before me. So it is that this is an important plea to you this morning, to come to terms with this judge. Who is the judge? Jesus is the judge. You see, that's who Abraham is standing before. Why should you be concerned about Jesus Christ and all that the Bible says that he is, all that he revealed himself to be in the scriptures? Because Jesus will judge you. He will be the one on the throne before whom you stand and give account of your life. Make peace with him, because he will be the one who determines your eternity. Why does God wait? So that you have time to listen and to respond. But there's another reason. What's happening here? Abraham, who is God's chosen tool, is mediating on behalf of these sinners who are indicted and are in danger of God's judgment. And what Abraham is doing, he's not actually changing God's mind. He's bringing God's promises and God's nature before him. Christians do that in prayer. Why does God wait? And why has he given you more opportunity to turn to him? Because Christians around you are praying. And this is so important. If God took out every child of his from the world, judgment would be immediate. It is because of the presence of believers in Christ in the world, as salt and light in the world, that God's judgment is delayed. God is patient because his children pray. So don't ever be cynical. Don't ever be critical or dismissive about Christians around you, even if you're not Christian yourself and you don't agree with them, who are praying for you. They are actually delaying God's judgment and allowing you time to respond. So please, if you're hearing this morning, turn to Jesus Christ. Make peace with him. Come to know who he is and what he is doing and what he has done on the cross, that he can forgive you and he can bring you into this new relationship with God, which is what God intends you for. Well, we are out of time, so let us pray. Gracious Lord, open our hearts and our minds to the glorious truths of your salvation. Help us to see in Jesus the only name under heaven by which we can come to you and know you. Make peace in our hearts through the blood of his cross, so that we can be yours and yours forever. Amen.